podcast, so it's been hard for me to keep up with what's going down. But there's something that's never hard to understand. That's beating your pets. Listen, man, if you wanted that motherfucker to beat your dog, or you smack your cat around, or just like yelling at your birds and shit like that, this is crazy, man. They be pets. They don't know. Listen, this is Maurice Diesel. Now listen now. Listen. I'm serious. Don't beat your pets. Feed them. They love you, man. When you come home late at night, you drunk, you know the dog is there and they're gonna sniff you and stuff. The kitty will be petting, be on the side of pettings. So be real with them little peoples, the critters. This is Maurice Diesel and I approve this message.
The John T. Mather Memorial Hospital's thrift shop is in need of volunteers so they can continue their 27 years of community service, and you can help with just a few hours of your time each week. The shop raises money to support the programs of the not-for-profit community hospital, and they need volunteers to extend their hours of operation and to better serve the public. If you have some extra time on your hands and would like to volunteer, please contact the thrift shop at 473-1320, extension 4092, or call Dorothy Perricone, Director of Volunteer Services at Mather Hospital, at 476-2749. That's 473-1320 or 476-2749.
And this is 90.1 and 107.3 WUSB Stony Brook. For people who like numbers, it's 6:01 p.m. on this, the fourth day of the fourth month of the 2017 year. And that means it's time for a 60-minute program known as Off the Wall. And as we glide into another Tuesday evening of Off the Wall. Actually, I didn't have a second half to that sentence. Let me just get rid of the as. We are gliding into another edition of Off the Wall, where every thought is carefully thought out and every sentence is constructed with care. This is Emmanuel, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, yes indeed. This is Kyle. I'm here. Hi. And wow. We're gliding, sure.
We are gliding. We are definitely gliding. And gliding smoothly, hopefully. I like our new theme, don't you?
Yeah, it's really good.
I feel like I'm gliding right now. I'm gliding on the clouds, looking down on everything that's going on.
Remarkable.
Look at that headline. President Trump more unpopular than Obama ever was. I don't mean to kick him when he's down. He's always going to be down, so I don't know. That story just came up from CBS. 35% job approval rating, 57% disapproving, and I guess the remainder can't be bothered. And Obama, his lowest point was 38%, and it took him 5 years to get there. So I don't know, how much lower can it get?
Me either. I'm at a loss. I think this is the end, but I know it isn't. So,
but when you say that, when you say the end, when people say it's all over, in the late night commentators, we hear them saying this. I just wonder what they mean.
Well, as low as it can go. I wasn't trying to be more sensational than may have sounded that way.
Well, the end, yeah. It kind of.
No, I'm annoyed by that too, though. I've been hearing a lot of like apocalyptic references. People throwing around the nuclear word.
The other N-word, yeah.
It's an N-word, but not the N-word. But, just throwing it around willy-nilly and, like, I find that really insulting to people that, really work in the industry or understand that technology and that the impact it has. Because, nuclear anything, aside maybe from nuclear medicine, a lot bigger than just a funny, gallows-type joke.
What about nuclear option?
Yeah, that's been in it too.
We might see that this week.
Exactly. No, that is a great example. We've been hearing about this so-called, and they qualify it with the so-called nuclear option. What is that?
Yeah, and I can imagine somebody waking up from a coma, seeing a headline on a newspaper saying Mitch McConnell about to exercise a nuclear option on Democrats, and saying, "What in God's name is happening to us?" Question regardless, when God's name is happening.
The first thing they would admire is Mitch McConnell's spine actually rearing itself. But
do you really want to see that?
No. But they'd be like impressed that he's, really going. But then wait, whoa, slow down.
Do turtles have
spines?
What
are you talking about? No, I don't know.
Is the shell considered a spine?
I think their spine is integrated into the shell.
That's our question of the week, folks. Do turtles have spines, and is the shell considered a spine?
I think it's a part of it.
Yes, get to work on that. That's the assignment, and we expect answers by the end of the hour.
So, long story long, that is the term being used for really a different type of voting. Instead of having to get the traditional two-thirds majority, they would do a simple majority, which is 51 votes.
51
which
votes.
They don't really have. So,
well, they have the 51 votes. They can get 51. Yeah. They don't have the 60 to stop the filibuster.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have the 60 to stop a filibuster, which means the vote they're exercising this with will go to filibuster and probably fail, right?
The filibuster is going to start, led by our own Chuck Schumer here in New York. And that's when Mitch McConnell is going to look like a real jerk and impose the majority nuclear option. And everyone is saying when he does that, basically the Senate is broken forever.
Right. And that is because of something we don't really realize, but is a big part of the U.S. government is decorum and some of the traditions, the way people interact, the sort of expectations of the ebb and flow of the legislative process. Yeah, that's completely upended because it sets a different type of precedent than what has occurred in the past. So suffice to say, we should qualify. What is this over? What legislative atrocity is this over? I can't remember which one. This isn't the internet privacy. No, it's not that one.
This is the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gorsuch. Gorsuch.
Yeah. Gorsuch, Kyle.
Gorsuch.
No, no, no. Let's have some respect for these people.
Okay, no, it's Gorsuch. But Gorsuch, I did hear someone pronounce it.
Still a silly name, but
I heard someone this week pronounce it that way. Gorsuch.
What, mainstream media?
No, no, no. It was it was probably not the mainstream media, but anyway, it's irrelevant. We'll see how that goes. I watched a little bit of the select committee or whatever they are. The
C-SPAN has gotten really interesting.
Oh, it is. It's great over the weekend, too, because you can catch up on a lot of stuff if you weren't around. And it's cool, especially at odd hours, you know, if you want to get your fix of facts. But, yeah, there's so many different issues occurring, and so this is one of them. And that's where that term's being sort of thrown about, and I just think it's careless.
Last week they had a hearing about getting Trump's tax returns.
That's right.
That the Republicans, again, voted down. They have the ability to do this. They can just vote to get it and end this once and for all. They will not do it. So it's not just Trump. It's all the underlings that are covering up for him. And some of the debate in that hearing was so contentious, it was almost humorous, but it made for some really, really interesting viewing. So, folks, find out where your C-SPAN channels are. There's three of them all together. That should be 10 of them. And, yeah, you know, you'll learn a lot. You'll learn a lot about how government really works. Or even better yet, go down yourself and see it face to face because you are able to do that.
I would argue that's probably the best television programming when it comes to politics. Like, I would like to hear an argument from someone about what even comes close to C-SPAN, because it is basically just what is happening in government, and so much of other media and especially TV news and the big cable companies, it's so polarized and it's just hard to watch. I'd rather have the time and the quiet of just sitting in as though I'm a camera, like from the camera's perspective, just absorbing it and making my own opinions and not having all the punditry all the time and all of everyone's opinion. It's good to get commentary and educated, you know, outside perspective.
But sometimes it's good for them to just shut up and let's you know, they have long periods of silence where nobody's really doing anything. I think it was the Senate. They were just arranging the desk for about 20 minutes and nobody said a word. But it was fascinating to watch. You saw all these pages coming in and out, and I don't know what they were doing, but that's what they do. And sometimes you just need to see that without somebody explaining it to you or cutting to a commercial or talking about some other breaking news.
There is an absurd and really obnoxious amount of hand-holding in television. And I know, I shouldn't expect
the. What Kyle means by that when he says an obnoxious amount of hand holding is that there's always somebody there to interpret what is being said as if you can't understand it
yourself.
You're
doing it now.
Now turned the attention to me and is saying that I'm doing it now when in actuality he needs to only look in the mirror.
I'm shaking my head.
Kyle is shaking his head. That is not a metaphor.
So thanks for illustrating my point and for being an annoying commentator.
His gratitude.
Back in my day, they called that the peanut gallery.
Why that?
I don't know.
Because
don't
they,
know
they sold gallery. Peanuts up there?
I don't know. No, I don't need to make old-timer references. But yeah, the annoying, not just the pundits and the commentary and the descriptive, like, hand-holding as we go from break to break to air all kinds of, you know, oil commercials. I think they're really invasive with the graphical stuff. It's just as annoying and irritating to have countdowns and crawls.
Oh my God, CNN with the countdowns. They're counting down to their own programs now. Used to be counting down to the election or to a debate or something, but now it's counting down to Van Jones's new program. Come on with the clock already. That was like one part of the screen we could still see, and now there's a stupid clock there all the time. Please, we didn't used to have the crawl. We didn't used to have the bug. You know, you guys can't even get the word live right. They're saying live all the time when it's not live anymore, and you get really confused because you know it's not daytime, and yet they're saying something is happening live. Oh, come on. Let's get the screen back and be able to see these things.
That is kind of my point. I think we really, as viewers, should demand a little bit more of that screen real estate back. I think bugs are out of control. Mm-hmm. I think the animated like show promos are out of control. Honestly, when you go back and play file like news footage,
right?
As a photographer, it is beautiful.
Yes,
it has that appeal. And I guess we're missing that. And when you frame the media, think about it. This is framing. When you literally modify the picture itself, being a nice, full, beautiful image of a particular scene with all sorts of externalities that amount to CG, like computer graphics, you're gamifying. If it looks like a video game, you're turning the news into a video game. I feel like there is an impact and there's a responsibility, and there's no need to have all this information. Maybe on CNBC, maybe on the financial channel when we're sitting around and our algorithms are sitting around watching stock prices. I mean, we don't even really need to see the stock prices on that channel. But yeah, that channel.
I don't
channel,
understand how to read those when they're going by at a mile a minute. Who looks at that?
You see your company's ticker and you
say,
oh, great.
Yeah, but you have to wait 25 minutes for it to get there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just at a glance. It's supposed to be helpful.
And there's two of them going at the same time. I don't know how that works. They go at different speeds,
but
too.
It is this absolute, complete obsession and oversaturation of information in something that is inherently a beautiful medium. But we do these god awful sets with like crazy green screening and monitors and computer graphics. I actually went and watched, which we'll get into later, a local news channel back in Seattle that had moved, and they actually have a street level view now, which they never had before. But it's cool because you can see traffic and like life going on behind them. And I was actually like a little bit thankful that they kind of went back to basics and show actual cars and things going on in their city, and not just have this spaceship that is so disconnected and dislocated from reality.
Everybody has that street view now. They have that studio on street level. You can see people out. You know who invented that? You know who was first?
Is it today?
Canada was first.
Oh, okay.
Much Music. They
really?
Did that in Toronto. At least that's the first I was aware of. And everybody started to imitate that. MTV imitated it.
They
and
did.
All the, yeah. And
I know it's a thing with Times Square, of course.
Well,
you know,
now
New York
it's a thing.
And MTV used to do it.
Used to do it. They don't do it anymore. They don't do anything anymore.
Well, now it's, I think, 106 in Park and all this stuff. But yeah, they had shots of some of their shows in the afternoon for tweens and so on who were, you know, getting home and they need to see their VJs, you know.
That was imitating Much Music
when
they did
exactly. That. It was total. That's the evolution. That's where I guess I was first exposed to it as a youth. But yeah, I mean, I think at least it's an attempt. You know, I mean, I know they're biting it. Like you're saying, they're taking that style and it's almost in vogue to go back to that now. But I prefer it. At least it's a little bit of a nod to the actual like real life photography and news gathering that they're supposed to be doing.
It's true, but it's still a distraction. It's still a distraction because you always have this traffic outside. It's good to be in touch, to be in the city that you're serving. But you know, on the subject of bugs, and bugs are those things usually on the lower right hand side of the screen. Sometimes on the lower left hand side of the screen. They're on the lower left hand side of the screen, like SNL does that. The reason they do that is because other stations air it who have different bugs,
right.
And they don't want a bug on top of a bug.
There's probably a name
so they move
for
it
that.
Over there.
There's probably a name for that.
But you can have a decent bug. You can have a bug that doesn't have all this animation and isn't in color. That's kind of translucent. That's just there so you know what channel you're on. Although, you know, what's interesting, if the bug was not an obtrusive thing, why do they turn it off during commercials? You know, they never have it on then. And you'd think that would be when they would want to have it on so that people would know what channel they're watching while they're watching a commercial. But they always turn it off because the sponsors complain and say, we don't want a bug in our commercial. It ruins the view. It ruins the view for everything.
And
you know, that's one good thing about WUSB. No bugs. We have no bugs.
No, 2600 has a bug, but we don't have a bug.
Well, yeah.
USB doesn't have
no,
one.
No, the radio station has no bug. If we did have a bug, you wouldn't see it.
But if we need a bug, I have one in my camera bag that we can pull out and use.
Please don't. No.
No. We don't need to, but it's there if we need to conform to that standard. But that's what we're critiquing. It is too much. Let's go back to the actual framing, the nice imagery. Let's do composition and tell these stories. But gosh, it's really hard to watch sometimes. So the quiet, the calm of C-SPAN, it might do you some good, and that's all I have to say about that. I don't want to belabor it.
Hang on, I just got a memo. Shut up and give out the number. Okay, we just got involved. Okay, we get into these conversations. Yes, we are in the fundraiser, and the phone number is 631-632-6901. Sorry, we should have given that out earlier. Basically, last week we had some phone malfunctioning. We did. But with the help of our listeners, we were able to figure it out and fix it. So it no longer is an issue. So now more than one person can call that number at the same time. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Before, you get a busy signal, and that was really frustrating for, and it would also bounce over to the studio lines, which was confusing to us as well. But now you can call that number, and what you'll get if you call 631-632-6901 is a volunteer who's picking up the phone and asking you if you'd like to pledge to keep WUSB going, keep us on the air, keep us improving, because we have improved so much over the last year. In no small part, thanks to our listeners for their generous donations. Now, what we offered to do last week was match every fund that came, every call that came in, every amount. And we did that, and it was a good amount. But, you know, it could have been better because more calls could have come in due to the phone malfunctioning. Now that the phones are working, we're going to extend that offer for one more week. All right, this is it, though. We can't, you know, not made out of money.
So identical offer to last week.
Up to $500.
Starting at zero again this
week.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So if you call 631-632-6901 and pledge $5, $10, $50, $100, $10,000, whatever you... Wait a minute, I said 500 was the limit. Yeah. Well, you can pledge that, but we can only match up to 500. You will get all kinds of gifts from us in exchange for whatever amount you pledge, and the people there... know exactly what's being offered, whether it's T-shirts or coffee mugs or hats or sweatshirts. We have economy cars and all kinds of...
There's a 40th anniversary tote bag, canvas tote.
It's our 40th anniversary, folks. Our 40th anniversary. Do it for that. You know, this doesn't happen every year. It only happens once. It'll never happen again.
This is not a fly-by-night station. We've been here, been established. There's a massive community of producers and enthusiasts and listeners like yourself out there, both here in the Long Island, Suffolk County region, but across the world.
Across the world, yes.
If you could believe it. There are people on ships, people maybe even in space. Who knows? But they...
There's like five people in space. Do you think one of them is listening to us?
And they've already sent their pledges in. And we would not want you to miss this opportunity to join them. We are, in fact, a community radio station. I know our listeners hold us to a very... very high and exacting standard. We're not professionals. We're not experts. Okay? We do this because we like to do it.
I just spilled coffee. A professional would not do that.
Wow. You think that's okay? I mean,
well, it emphasizes your point. No, it's not okay. It's very bad for
sticky. Everything.
Look at that. It's a horrible mess. And I'm looking for napkins now.
Use your T-shirt.
You know, that's what an amateur would do. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Just to prove your point.
So
we're not professionals.
Try not to forget that. And you know, while you're working on that, just go for your checkbook. Give us a call.
Or credit card. We take all the credit cards.
That's right. We take them all. We give them back. That's
we
your
don't
joke.
Actually take them. Yes.
I took your... That's your joke, right?
Oh, that was mine? Really?
It sounds
awful.
That's like the classic... Yeah. I mean, that's the classic hacker vending joke. Because whenever we're at a festival and people are buying back issues, we always get that question. Do you take credit cards?
You know what we should be? We should be the first station to take Bitcoin. We should figure out how to do that.
We could help with that.
We could do that.
Okay.
Let us know. Would you pledge to WUSB if we took Bitcoin? And if enough people say yes, we'll go out and we'll figure out how to set it up here.
Yeah, if that's convenient in any way for you and you'd be more inclined to donate to this community broadcast station, we will figure that out. We will do that for you. But suffice to say, WUSB.fm. There's a way, I'm sure, to donate online, or you can call us at 631-632-6901.
Why are you questioning? Why are you asking?
That's
it's being
right.
Grained into your mind. Yes.
Well,
631-632-6901. That is our phone number.
I wanted to be sure. There's a lot of numbers floating around with this fancy new phone system, but that's the number to call. We really, really appreciate any contribution you can make at any level It goes a really, really long way to what is essentially a volunteer and student-based organization here at Stony Brook University. And we need that help. That helps us do all of the things like keep the transmitter going and pay for supplies and maintaining things and some of our administrative staff even. There is a lot that money goes towards that.
Well, it doesn't go to our administrative staff. We don't pay people, but it goes towards
their supplies.
Yeah, not their personal supplies, but the supplies they need to get this place into working order.
It helps them do their jobs. Mm-hmm. If it isn't, no, it's not directly going to them. But
they want a sandwich. They got to buy that themselves.
It absolutely helps the bottom line. No one is eating lunch on these contributions. These are actually critical to the maintenance and function of this station so that we can concentrate on doing radio and playing great music and providing that resource, keeping the stream going, and wherever you are, you can tune in and take advantage of that. But it's
including
not
the TuneIn app.
That's right. We're on TuneIn.
TuneIn, yes. Yeah. Are you listening to us on TuneIn? I'd like to know how people are listening to us. There's all different ways. But the TuneIn app is awesome because you can listen to that in your car. You can listen to that on the computer and tune in any radio station in the world, it seems. And, of course, we're on there as well. But it's really, you know, you could be in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia and be listening to WUSB as if you were next door. In fact, probably better because the signal will probably sound better over the internet.
Suffice to say, it is not a foregone conclusion that we will be here. Only if you pledge can we promise you that we will be back and have the resources that it takes to do this.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Please join us. This is the 40th anniversary. A lot to be excited about and a lot of changes, a lot of cool stuff going on in the future. New programming. We're going to get new students, I'm sure, who are using the facility. And we're going to be continuing to share everything this station has done in the past, including massive archives, wonderful amounts and variety of music and programming. We want to be able to bring that to you in the future.
Unlike all the other fundraisers you may hear over the radio or even on television, the money does not go for administrative expenses, does not go for bureaucracy. It goes directly into WUSB, into getting equipment, into maintaining the equipment. And literally every dollar that comes in makes this place better. And you can tell by the sincerity in our voices and by the personal appeals that we have here live in these studios that it's not some big, massive organization that's professionally run. And I think that's to our advantage. That's something that really helps us. 631-632-6901. Remember, every pledge that comes in between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight is being matched by us. And that's coming out of our pocketbooks. I don't have a pocketbook, but pocket, I guess. Bank account, whatever. It's we're spending it. You know, if you give us $50, we're giving the station $50 and we have 100. Just like that. So if we make the 500 challenge goal that we're setting, that's $1,000 in 1 hour for the station, which, by the way, just to emphasize how meager our goals are, that's 2 days. That's 2 days worth of goals here at the radio station, which is incredibly tiny for most radio stations. We get by. 631-632-6901. We can't see the calls lighting up, so we hope they're lighting up.
Yes, we hope your calls are coming in. And again, just please, just as an example, there's a lot of different things staff and people of various expertise are doing. I'm helping to fix a bunch of record players, actually.
That's right. You've been doing that.
I've collected three record players that had various wiring issues, and I'm using a little of my soldering since I wasn't doing other electrical stuff. I took it upon myself, and I love the idea that our vinyl library is going to be something people can listen to, but you need listening stations. So part of getting those turntables going is to go towards that so that people can hear all of our great music here.
And just so people know, Kyle has actually gone out with his own money and bought the equipment needed to fix these turntables and get them back into working shape so that we have even more resources here. That's the kind of dedication we're talking about. People literally buy equipment themselves and repair things on their own time. That is the dedication you will not find in those bigger stations that also are pledging or are pitching for your money. It means a whole lot more here. I'm not saying don't donate to other radio stations. I'm just saying that If you donate here, you will hear the difference. We will feel the difference. 631-632-6901. Please get those calls coming in.
Essentially, you really aid in making the operational side easy mm-hmm. by letting us do keeping our fundraising to a minimum and having this go smoothly so that we can focus on the other things, which is, you know, learning new equipment here, doing our show, and helping in the other ways that we can. Everyone here is doing that. We've seen such an outpouring of the community support, from producers to people training, and everything in between. And that is what we're about. That is the spirit of WUSB, and it will continue on with your support.
That's right. And usually we talk about world events, and we're going to keep talking about world events. And
there's plenty going on in the world.
Plenty going on. But sometimes you need to escape from that, you know? And we've been doing that as well, escaping into various... Have you ever done this? Have you ever watched Homeland and followed it with 24? Back to back. If you really want to get confused, try that, because they're both on the same basic period. You know, one's on Sunday, one's on Monday, and they're both dealing with you know, trying to stop terrorism in the U.S. and all that. But it's different stories. But I've sort of fused the two of them together because, unfortunately, I've been trying to catch up on both. And yesterday I saw Homeland followed by 24, and I can't tell which show has which terrorist in it and what city is at risk. I just know there's a whole lot of unpleasant people out there. And
Do you imagine if you're watching The Americans as well? The Russian spies? We haven't even started.
No, haven't started that. Watching Colony, you know, with the aliens.
It is, I think, worth noting the responsiveness of a lot of the writing for these shows mm-hmm. because, I don't know. I mean, the crime drama has really been played to its logical extent.
True.
I think this is better. This is a better direction, better creative direction for the TV writing to be going in than just another CSI wherever, you know?
Yes, but does it affect the way that we think of things? Like, for instance, when 24 first came out, I think it was pre-9/11.
Okay.
And, you know, the idea of torturing people was something that was, you know, it was horrible. It was something we never would consider.
I'm not excusing it. Now it's something
that politicians run on.
True.
And that program says, yeah, you know, we have to torture people. It's the only way you get information out of them. Kind of changes the way we think. I'm not saying the program itself did that. But it kind of helps when you have all these ridiculous crises that are going on constantly. And my God, if you watch 24, there's one crisis after another. It never, that program seems to forget that its whole thing is it's in real time. You know, all events happen in real time, meaning there's no way you can get from your house to the CTU headquarters in 5 minutes. It's like they make scenes take place as if they're regularly filmed scenes, but they're supposed to be in real time. But they violate that so many times.
I think what happens is in production and in continuity, they get tunnel vision, I think, while producing the show, and what it and those sloppy the sloppy handling of time and pace. I think it becomes something that sacrifices as a result, because you just get into that filming mode, and then the editor, there's an incongruence, and there's not the continuity.
I sympathize. I really do. Right. But they should call me or somebody and say, look, does this work? Doesn't work, folks, when you do things like this, because that's the whole reason we watched the program in the first place, for the realism. And when you have, you know, the CTU, the counterterrorism unit, was attacked by terrorists. That's not the first time that's happened either. And for some reason this year it's in Chicago. I don't know why that is. But they're in Chicago. It gets attacked by all these terrorists. And you know, that's in the previous episode. Then the next episode, you know, which is maybe about 5-10 minutes into the episode, they're receiving guests like everything is normal. But in reality, that's 20 minutes after the terrorists left. You know, you think it's going to be just everything is normal. Hey, there's somebody here to see you.
No,
it's not going to be like that.
No.
They I don't want to ruin it. So, folks, tune away if you haven't seen it. But, you know, they just blew up the George Washington Bridge, for God's sake. And, you know, the TV channels are talking about other things. I think they'd be talking about that for pretty much a few hours. And one more thing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off on this. But it's only going for 12 hours, 12 episodes. The title of the damn show is 24. I mean, how can you call it 24 if it's not? It should be called 12. They only are doing 12 episodes.
Maybe
the whole premise of the show. They just. Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe it leaves room for another season, and definitely they are slacking. If your whole point is 24 hours and it is real time, then you really should have the continuity arm of your production paying a little bit of attention.
It just bugs me when you don't take your own premise seriously.
It's true.
Homeland I like a lot better. I really do. I think that's and that concludes next week. I don't know how they get things so spot on, but
they're
basically
getting,
it's a war between the intelligence agencies and the incoming president. I mean,
the whole
wow.
deep state theme. They're really agile as far as weaving in attributes of news and what's going on. Now, going back to one of your first comments, I'm not at all apologizing for the content of this writing. I would say that it's still bad TV in a lot of ways.
You want bad TV? I'll show you bad
TV.
But
I'm not at all saying that, like, because we're writing more about these stories, we're somehow better off. No, I think in fact, mentally, we're probably worse off in a lot of ways, but that's a whole other issue. But it is... there's definitely room for critiquing of what stories are being told, but it's still, I think, a little bit better than the same old crime dramas.
It is true.
It's evolved to real events, I think, also. It just makes it more timely and prescient.
Right. But I just wonder, you know, does life imitate art? You know, do we get obsessed with terrorism all the time? And we are obsessed with terrorism all the time. But is it because of these? I have a feeling that Trump watches 24 and takes notes.
Well, and also think of the small framing and the little things that become how we represent people and groups and language,
right,
all
those
little terms and ways that that are kind of ingrained through the process of that particular storytelling do influence life. It influences how we talk about that kind of media. It influences how we talk about the real thing when we're talking about news and all the truth and non-truth in between.
You know, I just remember something else, too. This will be my last point. But, you know, they were torturing a guy at CTU because he knew something about the terrorist attack, all right? And everybody knew he knew something about it because he admitted it to his own son.
Right.
And so they're torturing him. But then the son comes in and says, "You stop torturing him. He's my father," you know, all that stuff. And so they basically reluctantly stop torturing. And, you know, we, the audience, are saying, "No, keep torturing him. Come on, it's working.
Right.
You got to torture." You know, 20 years ago, we never would have said that. But now we know that torturing works because in all the seasons of 24, it's really accomplished a lot.
It's normalizing.
So now the poor guy that they brought in from a previous series to torture him has to go home. He's really sad. But, you know, then in the next episode, he and his cohort are racing to the airport for another job. Well, you know, what if the torturing had gone well? What if they were still there? They wouldn't have had that flight to catch. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Did they book the ticket, like, immediately in the car ride back from the failed torture session? You know, it just doesn't add up. You gotta think this thing through. They probably wouldn't have gotten the flight until the next day at least. So that whole line of dialogue shouldn't even have been there.
I think that goes along with a lot of the painting tech but that's kind of logistics, but painting it with a broad stroke. You have these shows that are very technical or very deep, have a lot of layers to them, and you tend to kind of overlap or gloss over the important details that are a technical nuance. And if you're just assuming that the viewer is going to understand that inherently, you're not doing your job.
Speaking of broad strokes, have you heard of this latest scandal, airbrushing faith?
No.
Yeah, this is happening in England. Theresa May is slamming the Cadbury company for airbrushing faith from the Easter egg hunt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Apparently, she said it's absolutely ridiculous that the National Trust, which is, I guess, an organization over there, that works with Cadbury for the annual Easter egg hunt.
Right. Cadbury isn't theirs anymore, by the way. I mean, they sold it, right?
Yeah,
it's like an independent company.
Volkswagen, I don't know who owns them. It doesn't matter.
Same difference.
But the thing is, they dropped Easter from the National Trust egg hunt.
Okay.
Now, the Prime Minister waded into the row between Cadbury and the Church of England. Yeah, Church of England is involved in this. After its annual Easter egg trail, a National Trust event, which it sponsors every year, was rebranded to the Great British Egg Hunt. Yeah. This is what they're doing to Christians, Kyle. They're removing Easter. They're taking our precious things from us. Now, Theresa May said, "I'm not just a vicar's daughter." Did you know she was a vicar's daughter?
No.
I didn't know that either. "I'm a member of the National Trust as well. I think the stance they've taken is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what they are thinking about, frankly. Easter is very important. It's important to me. It's a very important festival for the Christian faith for millions across the world. So I think what the National Trust is doing is frankly just ridiculous." And senior clerics have accused the chocolate giant. Sorry, I'm just thinking of a giant made out of chocolate, but... All right, I'm getting that out of my head. Senior clerics have accused the chocolate giant of trying to drop Easter and airbrush faith. And the Archbishop of York, you know, the heavy hitters, said the move goes against everything the company originally stood for after it was founded by the deeply religious Quaker John Cadbury in 1824. Dr. John Santamu told the Daily Telegraph last night, "To drop Easter from Cadbury's Easter egg hunt, in my book, is tantamount to spitting on the grave of Cadbury." So, you know, this is something that people do not take lightly. And when you remove Easter from the Easter egg hunt, it becomes a very serious event.
What's the big deal? Christ rises, comes out from behind the rock. It's all good. What? Well, is the big problem? Why do they have to
never put Christ in Easter for some reason? And he's the one that rose from the dead. That's a big deal.
Yeah, he's the one that, you know, gets betrayed and then shoved in a hole for a while.
I don't even know. What do eggs have to do with Easter in the first place? And what in God's name does the bunny? Okay, we can talk about that for a long time. But here's the thing. I went to the Cadbury website because I wanted to see this for myself. This is outrage.
Of course.
And what do I see? The very first thing on there, "Enjoy Easter fun at the National Trust." Now, the second word of the whole thing is Easter. All right? And it doesn't stop there. Hunting for a way to make Easter, well, then there's a paw print over it, so I can't read the rest of it. But Easter is everywhere. Find adventure this Easter. Head downtown or head down to one of our special Cadbury egg hunts. Okay, they call it a Cadbury egg hunt. Because they don't have the word Easter next to the word egg, apparently that's something that's really offending them.
Or Cadbury.
But man, Easter is everywhere. Easter fun in the kitchen. Download your Cadbury Easter recipe pack. Easter, Easter, Easter.
But does it take place on Easter by
religious,
any chance?
I don't know about that, but I don't even know when Easter is this year. When is Easter? Does anybody know? Nobody knows when Easter is.
Computer.
Because they keep moving it. Why can't they have Easter on the same damn day? I mean, Christ only rose one day. He didn't vary it.
Even get started about Orthodox Easter.
Just leave Cadbury alone. You know, they had nothing to do with this. All they did, it works a little better. Yeah, join the Cadbury egg hunt. Where are you going to put Easter in that? They made it on an egg, okay? And you have these outraged people here. Look at these comments that people are writing. Let's see what we got here. We've got, hang on, I got the wrong page. They have all these outraged people. "Do not buy any chocolate eggs that do not have the word Easter written upon them." Yeah, that's what people are saying.
That's insane.
Well, I don't usually buy Easter eggs in the first place. But, you know, Cadbury tends to have people pick on them this time of year. A couple of years ago, you might remember, chocolate lovers in the UK were hopping mad after one of the country's favorite Easter confections was getting an overhaul by its US-based producer, Kraft Foods, now owns chocolate maker Cadbury, stunned consumers by no longer using Cadbury's dairy milk in the recipe for its cream eggs. And there's more.
Milk.
The company also is reducing a package from 6 eggs to 5.
Ha.
And the quote in the article here is, "Easter is ruined." So, yeah, people take this seriously, all right? It's crazy out there. It really is.
Have you ever made Easter eggs-y?
You can make Easter eggs?
Yeah.
How do you make it? Oh, yeah, I guess you paint them.
You dye them.
Yeah, but you don't make the egg. You paint the egg.
Well, yeah, you dip them in dye, and you can make them different colors.
You hear this noise?
It's fun. Oh, my God.
This noise means something to you, Kyle. It means something to me as well. We just found out about this yesterday and happened to see it today. Listen carefully.
This is the future.
And it's a bit of the past as well.
A lot of the past. Too much of the past.
This is the sound of...
Shh.
You want me to be quiet?
Shh.
All right, I won't talk. You won't even know I'm here. But I should tell people what this is.
Sounds like a very large monster.
It's a boring machine, and I don't mean a dull machine. It's a football-sized tunnel digger.
Football field-sized.
Football field.
That's drill head. Football-sized.
Football field-sized.
It's the size of a football field. This is a drill head.
And This has been in Seattle since 2013.
Yes, this is the TBN.
And it's called Bertha. And today, we saw this live on Seattle TV. It broke through the ground after digging a huge 2-mile-long tunnel.
That's right.
And we happened to see it the moment it dug through. And
it's going to be a double-decker, 4-lane highway. And I rode on the viaduct that it is replacing my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I've
seen that city and everything from that vantage for so long.
But it's about to stop. It's about to stop because they finished the job. And we happen to capture that magical moment.
Shh.
Everyone quiet. And those are construction workers screaming in horror as they realize their job has come to an end.
Yes, job security. they're unprepared for what lies ahead.
Everybody in Seattle's talking about this. And it was so awesome that we were able to just turn on a Seattle TV channel and watch this. But they call the boring machine Bertha.
That's right. The name of the tool is officially the TBM, Tunnel Boring Machine, but it is actually nicknamed Bertha after a Seattle mayor, a woman from, I believe, the early 20th century.
Wait, first of all, New York has never had a female mayor, and you're saying Seattle had a female mayor
in 1920.
Could women even vote back then? I mean, how? Wow. In some ways.
I don't want to get into the whole story, but it's an interesting story. And she was a mayor, I think, for not a full term, but she was a mayor in Seattle. And
that's awesome.
And that is where the name is derived. So it's not just a funny nickname. It's specifically after Bertha.
I'm kind of wondering, why would you name a football field size machine that digs through the ground after a mayor?
Well, I think
did
Big
she have
Bertha
a reputation or something for, I don't know, just plowing out everyone out of the way? Or
I think Bertha is the name for Big Bertha, they say, maybe for big things, and they actually found a historical connection, so it's sort of a tongue-in-cheek. Officially, it's named after her, but it's also this big, huge machine that
you don't get much bigger than Bertha.
In 2013, it hadn't been surpassed in size. But what happened is the whole project got delayed for 2 years because they hit some old beams and columns that had been buried deep underground, and it broke the machine. They had to retrieve parts of the cutting head and then reassemble it. That had it happened midway, they would have had to dig up like several avenues like under some buildings. So it was lucky that they had their missteps. It took a very, very long time, and I was actually really surprised that it was done so soon. Because it seemed like it was going to go on forever and ever. But this is, as I said, a 4-lane double decker, two lanes each way. It's a massive roadway that's going to clear up the waterfront. So everything above ground will create a much better urban interface between the city and the waterfront in Seattle. And a bunch of other things are going to happen as a result of this. There's two major highways. This is State Route 99 that goes along the waterfront. Massive bottleneck because you have Interstate 5 and State Route 99. And it has for years, for my entire life, been a massive traffic bottleneck. And so what this does is it connects the south of downtown and 509 or Highway 99 all the way up to the north of Seattle to what is called the Aurora Bridge, which goes over Lake Union on the north side of Seattle, sort of over the top of Fremont and that area. All foreign things to people listening here, but it's a big, big deal because that roadway is incredibly busy, and it will alleviate and also alleviate congestion, but also make it a lot safer because the viaduct was a raised double-decker roadway that was basically disintegrating, and they were predicting wouldn't last another earthquake. So apparently this is going to be much safer.
Well, I hope the tunnel is able to last an earthquake. That's like a big deal.
This, I think, will have less of a risk of things toppling over above ground where people are and so on. That risk is going to be mitigated. Now, whomever is using it underground, of course, they're going to have this is such a big tunnel that I think they're going to have, of course, escape routes and all of those types of logical things, probably more than a few break rooms for Washington Department of Transportation.
Well, it is
employees.
Really good to see these things happening. We're getting the new Kosciuszko Bridge here.
That's right. The Kosciuszko is the old one's going to be blown up.
And I want to be there for that moment. That's going to be because I want to pull the trigger, to be honest. I've probably spent a year of my life on the Kosciuszko Bridge in one direction or another.
I believe it.
The new one is half of it's going to be open up this year. They're going to build the second half and open that up in a couple of years and more lanes. So and it's going to look nicer, won't be quite as high.
These are great things to see, though, because they...
East Side Access, LIRR access to the Grand Central with the Second Avenue subway. It's good to see these things actually happening. But you know what I really think is amazing, especially Bertha brings this out, the hugeness of it, the football field size machine. You know, we were seeing a program the other day about wind turbines, you know, the thing that Donald Trump hates.
That's right.
I think they're beautiful. I think they're amazing. And they bring clean energy to so many, but they are so big. You don't realize how big they are until you see one of the what do they call them? The turbines,
blades,
being driven on a massive truck.
Yeah,
like much longer than an 18-wheeler.
They're like four trucks long.
And mankind is building these machines that are so much bigger than us that are working for us. And it just feels like we're stepping into a whole other dimension by building these massive machines. The space station, you know, the biggest thing ever built.
I am absolutely as enthusiastic, but I want more. And I think a lot of people share the sentiment. We need to think bigger. We need to dream bigger. We need to design bigger cities, bigger overall plans, not just strip mall to strip mall to strip mall. We need a lot more comprehensive city planning and stuff that doesn't take 60 years.
Exactly, yes.
And I know, you know, defense contractors plan, you know, Boeing's planning till 2060 for their next helicopters. You know, that's fine. We need to do this as communities, and these structures need to be ever bigger. Because they may seem like one little bit, and maybe and it's nice to see it come up quickly, but they are part of an overall comprehensive system. And believe it or not, that bridge, Kosciuszko, is going to make a big difference. People will get places faster, less arterial traffic, and on and on and on. The waterway may be more usable or not, or I don't know, but it all contributes. And support for these kinds of things, it needs to be there. And we need to absolutely, I think, dream much, much bigger. This is great, but I know we can do a lot more.
And we can dream bigger and dream responsibly so we don't destroy the environment, so that we take care of people and just build a better place. And with that, I want to close with a song dedicated to Bertha that actually is called Bertha.
Yeah, they're going to disassemble it into 20-ton pieces and pull it out of the ground.
And it'll go on a victory tour.
They're going to send it away.
Okay. 631-632-6901. Call us now. Pledge. We'll see you next week. Good night. Try to see what's
monster. I dug my feet into a bottle. It's all that
I'm